Well, it's great to be back with everyone again. I think it's been a few years, so if you've been here for a decent amount of time, maybe I look familiar to you. If not, that's okay. So my name's Jordan. My wife is Jessica. We have two kids. You might have seen them around here. So your fellowship has been partnering with us since around 2017. So my wife and I used to live in China and do ministry work there. We lived there for about 4 years, from 2015 to 2019. And then 2019, we came back unexpectedly. We had visa problems that forced us to come back here. And then God graciously gave us new work to do here. And so we've been doing international student ministry up at UT for the last 5 years or so. And so this morning, what I'm going to do is just share kind of an update on what we've been up to, kind of the last 2 years and recently. And then I'm going to share a message from God's word this morning. And so, yes, this is the first slide. And so what I'm going to do is I created this document kind of to share with people about what it is that we do. And so I'm just going to kind of work through this document and explain that with you this morning. So the top part is more kind of big picture purpose. Why do we do what we do? What is our driving kind of passion and goal with the students and scholars that we work with at UT? So I'm just going to read it for you if you can see it up there. It says, "We exist to lead students to reorient their entire lives around the person of Jesus by having supreme confidence in him, that he came to rescue us from bondage and the toxic impact of sin so that we could be given a new life, an eternal kind of life in him now and become his disciples, which means learning from him how to live out abundant life in God's kingdom, offering life, love, and good to the world in which we live." So that's big picture why we do what we do. We want to make disciples of Jesus that live out the life that Jesus came to lead us into. So that's kind of the big picture why it is we do what we do. The next part is vision. I have six things there that we kind of want to work students through. Now, it's never that, you know, easy, but I wish it was, but it's never that easy. So the first one is just to notice Jesus. So many of our students are, well, all of them are from all places around the world. And so some of them have heard of Jesus before. Some of them have never heard of Jesus before. Some of them have very false ideas about who Jesus is. And so our first goal is just to have them notice Jesus, to see that he is a real person, that he existed, and that he came to rescue and save us. So just to notice him. The next one is to explore Jesus. So that's more students that once we start talking about Jesus and sharing about him, some are interested. Some want to learn more. And so we do studies. I'll get into more of that soon. But we have studies and things that dive them into learning more about who Jesus is. Next one, seek, find. And then for the last one, hopefully, once they explore and seek, they find Jesus and they follow him. And so this is kind of the progression we want to see students follow as they come to know about Jesus. You can go to the next slide. So then kind of day-to-day, what does that look like for us? That was all kind of big-picture stuff. What does it look like on a day-to-day basis for us and what we do? So my wife and I are actually both educators by kind of education and training. So the thing that God has kind of led us into is to help students with their English needs. To minister to them, we first need to think, how can we practically serve them? How can we practically show them the love of God in ways that we're able to do? And so God has graciously opened up ways for us to use English training and teaching to serve the students, and that's a huge need for them. Many of them are coming here to start their majors at UT, and some of them, their English is too low to start their major, and so we have to help them improve their English. And so we have three main ways that we do that. I actually teach part-time on campus at UT at a place called the American Language Institute, and so I teach international students English, the boring stuff, grammar, all that kind of stuff, okay? So that's one way. The second way is I run a program called Conversation Partners. And so anyone in the Toledo area who wants to be matched with an international student for one-on-one conversation practice, I match them. So I get volunteers, American volunteers, and then I find students who want help, and I match them together. Many of the volunteers are believers. We want that, so that hopefully then these volunteers see it as a way to, you know, dig into the lives of these students and really bless them. The third thing is called English Corner. So I run a class each week. It's a group class for any international student that wants to come for free. and I bring a topic in English, and we just talk about it. So it could be marriage, it could be, we try to stay away from politics, but it could be anything, any kind of topic. I bring it, and we just talk about it together. And that's a huge help for them. For us, it seems simple, very simple, but for them, it's a huge need, because if you've ever tried to learn a language, the speaking and listening is the hardest part. When my wife and I were in China, we learned a lot of Chinese. Speaking and listening is the hardest because you have to do it with other people. Reading and writing, you can kind of do on your own a little bit. You can practice on your own. But speaking and listening, you need to engage with others. And so we want to provide them those opportunities. So those are the three main ones. The last one is called a furniture program. I don't lead this, but I help a fellow believer with this. His name is Wes. He has a warehouse in Toledo where he stores used furniture. And then when students come, he gives it away to them for free, completely free for them. And it's a way to bless them and show them the love of Christ. Because if you've ever moved somewhere, if you've ever moved to a different country, let alone in America, you go to an apartment and it's empty, right? And so if you're in a new place and you don't know how to get a car, you don't know how to get a truck, you don't know how to get it to your apartment, this is a huge help. And so I help my friend with that. Now, in all of that, our goal is, as we're serving them, as we're living life with them, to obviously talk about our walk with Jesus, to share about what he's done for us, to share what he's doing for us today, all of these things, so that they notice Jesus. You can go to the next slide. And then, you know, as we talk about Jesus, it becomes very clear, usually, if they're interested or not. You know, some of them, students have a very blank, you know, they show no interest whatsoever to anything that we're saying about Jesus. And we respect that. They don't have an interest right now, and so we don't really push it further if they're not showing an interest. But for many students, or I should say for some students, they do show an interest. As soon as we bring up Jesus, they start asking questions. They show that they are interested. And so then we have ways for them to kind of explore and seek Jesus, to, you know, to dig into his word, to have Bible studies. Some of them are very scientific. They're coming here as students. And so they want to dig into more of the existence of God. Why does it make sense for there to be a God? That's more of, if you're familiar with, like, apologetic type material. I've gone through some of that with students before. So really anything that will guide them on this journey of, you know, seeing who Jesus is, we want to provide that for them. And then the last one is for students that decide to follow Jesus. It's our job to then walk them through, what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus in your everyday world where you are? We want to get them involved with churches and groups here in America while they're here, but also when they go back to their country. Because if they become a believer here, their context here is going to be very different, most likely, than what they're going to experience back in their home country. And so in as many ways as possible, we need to help them with that transition as well. And so just a quick story. This past year, we had a Chinese couple come. I met them in English Corner. So I just mentioned the English class that I lead. I met them there for the first time. It's a Friday class. So I always ask them, you know, what are you going to do over the weekend? And so I don't remember what I was doing that weekend. But I did share that I was going to church on Sunday and that my family was going to go to church and things like that. And afterwards, they came up to me and just had lots of questions about church and about Jesus and all. So that's a clear sign that they're interested, right? And so then we got them plugged in with the study that we help lead. There's a Chinese church in Perrysburg now that we got them connected to. So they just really started digging in. I found out that God had been working in their life for years. So this wasn't like a, you know, a new thing. God had been working. It's just this was our turn to take the baton for what he was doing in their lives. And this past spring, they decided to follow Jesus. And they were both baptized together before they went back to China. And so that's just an example of what we hope to see, that these things that we do to serve students would get us in touch with them, to see what God is doing in their lives, and then from there, kind of see what God wants to do, you know, further. And so that's just an example of what we hope to see. So that is, in a nutshell, what we do and what we're doing on a week-to-week basis up in UT. And so thank you. As a church, you've been partnering with us for many years now, and so we're extremely thankful for that. And so I'm going to kind of wrap up that part of the message, the update. And now I want to shift to the message in God's word this morning. So if you want to, if you have your Bible with you or if you have a phone, we're going to be in Mark 8, 27 to 30. So if you can open up with me, We're in Mark 8, 27 to 30. And the title that I gave for this message is The Turning Point, and I will explain that soon. So Mark 8, 27 to 30. Let me pray for us before we begin. Father God, we thank you for what you are doing all around the world, but especially at UT with students and the opportunities that you have opened up to minister to them. I thank you for this morning and just the opportunity to share from your word this message. I pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what it is that you would have for us this morning. I just ask that you would just lead us all to just the ways that you want us to follow you in a deeper way, and how you want us to see what you've done for us, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let me just read this passage for us. It's very short, just three verses. So it says, verse 27, it says, "And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that I am?' And they told him, 'John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' And he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered him, 'You are the Christ.' And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him." All right. Now, the book of Mark has 16 chapters. Okay, we are in the chapter 8. Okay, so we are halfway through the book, right? Now, usually when someone hands you a book or you read a book, it's not recommended to open to the middle of the book and read just a few lines. Okay, but we're doing that this morning. So in order for us to really understand this passage well, then we have to kind of know, what has Jesus been up to before this passage? And then, and where is he kind of headed after this passage? Okay, so that's what we're going to kind of look at first. Now I have a question for you. When someone says the name Jesus to you and you think of titles for him, you know, in the Bible, it gives many titles for Jesus. What are some titles that come to mind for Jesus? You can shout it out. Okay, Savior, Majesty, King, Messiah. Yes, all of those are great. All of them very true, okay? One title that maybe we don't often think of for Jesus is Rabbi. For Jesus' first followers, this would have been, you could say, maybe their most common title for Jesus on a day-to-day basis, to call him Rabbi. According to the Easton Bible Dictionary, rabbi simply means like master. It's a title of dignity given by the Jews to their doctors of the law and their distinguished teachers. Okay, I don't expect you to use this word today or in your daily life very often, but we need to know that this was an important title for Jesus. And we can think of it as simply master, teacher, or leader. Kind of those three things, I think, combine for rabbi. So when we consider what Jesus was up to on this earth with his original disciples, and even what he's doing today with current day disciples like you and I, I think we need to remember this important word. Because just like any teacher or leader you've had in your life, think right now of the greatest teacher or leader you've personally experienced in your life. That person, he or she, most likely had a very clear like end goal for their students. Okay, they had like a clear like, this is what I want you to understand or to do, and they had a specific like plan on how they were going to get you to that point, right? And so when we see Jesus interacting with his disciples, we need to see that he was doing this. He was leading his disciples to an end goal of understanding, of belief, and of action. And his actions that he was doing, that his disciples were seeing on a day-to-day basis as he was following them, as they were following him, were to lead them to that goal of understanding and belief that would guide the way they live their lives. Okay? So when we look at this passage in Mark 8 and the questions for Jesus' disciples, we need to ask, you know, what was Jesus' end goal for them? What was the core message that he wanted them to understand and live out? How was he teaching them this message? Well, when we look at the questions here in our passage today, I think we could say one of Jesus' main goals, if not his main goal, was for his disciples to truly know who he was. He wants them to have an accurate belief and understanding of who he is and what he came to do that would then inform and drive the way they live out their lives. As we'll see shortly, they didn't totally get it here in Mark 8. They understood some, but they still had much more to understand. Now, another part of Mark tells us, I think, even more about Jesus' message and what he wanted his followers to believe and understand. It's actually in Mark chapter 1, and it's the first words that come out of Jesus' mouth.